Good morning. Today we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer once more. And the line that we're looking at today is, "Give us today our daily bread." Our home when I grew up was a place where all my mates would come and hang out. We would be playing in the park, we would be playing football, we would be doing all sorts of things. And more often than not, my pals would stay for dinner. Whether my parents were aware that they were going to stay for dinner or whether their parents were aware that they were going to stay for dinner is a different question, but they would often stay for dinner. We always had people round at our house. One of my favourite meals to come into after playing outside was that beautiful smell of spaghetti bolognese, an absolute staple in our home. We would have it all the time. It was my fave of faves. It still is one of my favourites. And I loved it. And my pals would stay and they would have it. I remember vividly my pal Ricky choking on some spaghetti bolognese, which is a different story altogether. But the other thing that I loved that my mum did was she got these little bread rolls, these warm little baguettes almost, and she would put them in the oven and they would come out crispy and hot and delicious, and it was just wonderful. It is just my opinion, but nothing seems to beat that smell of fresh bread, whether you've baked it, put it in the oven, whatever. It's got something about it, does it not, that it is beautiful. All I had to do was walk through the door and go to the table. The food was provided for me, because that is what a parent's job and a parent's responsibility is. It's to provide for their children. As a child, when you're young, you tend to just receive whatever's given to you. You know, my mind thinks back to when Zoe was a baby. You know, when we fed her, when we gave things for her, she just, well, she didn't really have a choice. We just stuck it in her mouth. You know what I mean? And, you know, Ezra, he just now, he's quite different to Zoe in many ways. And one of the ways is that he just seems to make, 10 times as much mess at dinner time than Zoe did. He seems to, you know, I don't know, just have a different relationship with dinner time than Zoe had. And he, you know, is so much more messy. He'll throw things at you. He'll let you know when he's not happy more often than not. All kids are so different, but it's our responsibility to provide for them. Perhaps though, when our children grow up, and I know for myself and with my parents, I certainly went from a place of just receiving things to asking for things and maybe expecting things. And, you know, my perception of what they should be providing for me probably changed. It went from, you know, mushy food to new clothes, maybe when there was a hole in something, to maybe the new PlayStation or the new Xbox. And I thought that that was what all kids got, and I expected it. Lo and behold, you don't always get what you want, and you don't always get what you think you need. But God, He is the perfect Father. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you need. He's our provider. He's our good Father. And our series is on the Lord's Prayer. Today we're looking at that line, "Give us today our daily bread." And I love how the Passion Translation puts it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It says this: "We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day." He is the one who knows what we need and will provide what we need each day. The great provider. Give us today our daily bread. Bread here is the symbol of God providing all we need, physically, as well as emotionally and spiritually. In the Old Testament, bread was a symbol of God's provision for his people. We remember how God cared for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt. Life in the wilderness was hard, and soon the people began to complain that it would have been better to have stayed and been back in Egypt, where they had wonderful food to eat. But in response to these complaints, God promises to rain bread from heaven, Exodus 16, verse 4. And the next morning, when the dew lifted, There remained behind on the ground a small round substance as fine as frost. It was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. When God miraculously fed his people from heaven, he did so by giving them bread. Bread is the symbol of his provision, and he provided what they needed. A miraculous provision. There's two things that come straight to my mind when I hear that and when I say that. First of all, I start to remember the times when God has provided for me and my family. My mind starts to go back to when I was younger and when, you know, maybe we didn't have as much money as other people, but I never went without. We got everything that we needed. He provided time and time and time again. And I remember things maybe as well that, you know what, I'd taken for granted. Some of the little things, some of the things that maybe weren't huge, miraculous things, but still God has given them to me and my family, and God has provided them for me. So that's the first thing I remember back to what he's already done. But secondly, there's also that tension, isn't there, where we talk about God's provision, and we know that he's good, and we know that he provides, but yet sometimes we're in a place of struggle. We're actually, maybe we've been praying for something. Maybe we've been asking for God's provision in some way, and it hasn't came. It hasn't happened. Perhaps not in the way that we'd expected it anyway. There's areas in my life where I might think, God, why haven't you pulled through for me like you did before? Why have you not answered my prayer like I prayed it or how I wanted it? But hey, I want to encourage us this morning that it's so important to remember and to remind ourselves of who our God is. He is good and he does provide for us. And listen, we don't have to think of huge things, as I said, to do that. He gives us so much. Everything we have is a gift from him. So I want to encourage us this morning to give thanks for the little things and for the larger things. Well, let's give thanks to God for the air in our lungs, for the roof over our head, for the food on our table. But also, let's give him thanks for those times when he miraculously pulled through. I'm sure that there's things that are just coming into your mind right now. Times that maybe you'd forgotten about, times where you maybe just taken that for granted, or you thought maybe that was a fluke or a coincidence. No, God has provided. Let us remember. We're so quick to forget. We're so quick to forget about what he's already done for us and for the blessings that he has given to us. And we all have our own story, which is amazing. You have a unique story of how God has walked with you through your life. I have so many things in life to be grateful for and thankful for. God's provision in my life has taken so many different forms. I remember when me and Becky were married and we were unsure of where we were going to live. We were reasonably young to be married. Becky had literally just turned 20, 2 days. She was 2 days into her, you know, being 20, and we got married, and I was 21. And I was not sure where we were going to live, but God provided for us a wonderful little flat. And when we started to kind of think, okay, we need a bigger house, God provided a lovely place for us to call home and to rent for a few years. And then when the kids, you know, were coming and we were thinking, you know, we need a new house, we need a house with maybe a better garden for the kids, and all these things, God provided it for us. Our beautiful children, you know, we, like so many people, were praying and hoping for this miracle of children. And I won't go into our full journey of that, but there was hard times along that road. There was painful times. There was tough times, but God heard our cry, and God gave us a beautiful gift of life back in 2018. She's called Zoe, and Zoe means life. And if you know Zoe, oh, She's full of life. She's living up to that name. And of course, now we have Ezra, who is just a wee cracker. God has given me so much. And that's just scratching at the surface. And I want to encourage you today, maybe just take a moment now or during this sermon or after the service to write down the different ways that God has provided for you over the years. And if you're struggling to think of things, just think of simple truths that he has given us. He's given us life. He's given us breath in our lungs. He's given us all we have. And when we turn our attention to give him thanks, that can change our whole perspectives in life. So let us remember what he's done. Let us give thanks for all he has given to us. Because I'm sure you're aware of this. The world that we live in is a culture of more. We live in a culture that's always looking for more. Everyone seems to be living for the next thing. And it's very hard for people and for us to feel satisfied with what we have in life. It might be the next mobile phone. It might be the job promotion or the wage increase. It might be the bigger house, the better car. It seems to be a part of our nature to always be wanting more and more and more. And the question has to be asked, why is that? Why do we always want more? Why is it that we always are looking for the better thing or the newer thing? I think often we believe, maybe we don't even realize that we believe it, but I think we do believe that that bigger thing or better thing or newer thing is going to bring us joy. It's going to bring us fulfillment. It's going to bring us happiness. It's going to bring us, you know, it's going to satisfy that need and fill that hole. However, I'm sure you know it as well as I know it, that those sorts of things don't fulfill us. They don't bring us the joy and the peace that we're craving for and that we're longing for. There's only one that can bring us true fulfillment, true joy, and provide for our biggest needs in life, for our biggest desires and our biggest longings, and that is Jesus. He is the one who brings us fulfillment and joy and peace. He's the one who provides that for us. Our reading today was taken from Philippians 4 verses 10 through to 20. And I want to look a second at just a couple verses around about verse 12. In the NLT, it says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And then in the Passion Translation, it says this, I have learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. We see here in the letter to the Philippians that Paul himself, when he's writing this, is in prison. He is restricted. He's unable to do what he wanted to do and what he was used to doing. His circumstances are far from perfect. They're limiting. And if I put myself in that position, and if I was to put myself in Paul's position, I would probably be complaining. I'd probably be moping around feeling sorry for myself. But Paul is not like that. This letter to the Philippians is perhaps the most rejoicing and the most triumphant of all his letters that he wrote. 11 times in this letter, he uses the word rejoice. And that marks the theme of this letter. He has a joy that is above and beyond his circumstances. We are so used to experiencing happiness from our circumstances in life. If our football team wins, we're happy. If our football team loses, we're unhappy. If I get bypassed for that promotion at work, I'm filled with, I don't know, unhappiness or bitterness. However, the joy that Jesus brings, the fulfillment and contentment that comes from knowing Jesus and being a follower of Jesus, goes beyond circumstances. So we all face a very real battle in our lives between the culture of more or the beauty of contentment in Jesus. God wants to provide for our every need, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And he also wants to give us true contentment. It's not about having more stuff. It's about being fulfilled, being complete, and being content in him. Paul's joy and fulfillment certainly wasn't in his circumstances. It was in Jesus. And that's my prayer and my desire for myself. But it's not always easy. In verse 11, it said he has learned. It said he had learned to be content in every situation. That suggests it's not a natural thing, but a learned thing. We have to learn to be content. There's something about us humans in our imperfection and in our fallen nature that is wired to always be wanting more and is never content with what we have. But I believe that Jesus wants to teach us true contentment, which is found in him, rather than in circumstances and things. So we pray today, Lord, teach us to be content. Help us to place our hope and our trust in you. 2020 was the year of so many things, but if you cast your mind back to around about March time, it was the time of panic buying, right? I recall being in Costco around March, close to that first lockdown, to try and find some toilet roll. And I'm sure that every single person watching this remembers that struggle. Every shop was out of it. Tesco was out of it. Aldi was out of it. Home Bargains was out of it. Everywhere was out of it. And I went to Costco and the place was full of people trying to find toilet roll and heaps of other things. People were panicking. It was a real panic. You felt it. People feared a shortage. This was clearly an unusual situation and a pressurized thing. And we'd become so accustomed to living our lives in a certain way. And then everything changed. But this sort of panic buying and feeling of, you know, I don't think I'm going to have enough. I need to make sure I've got enough can also be a sign of how we often live our lives out with pandemic situations. We can often live our lives out of a place of panic, out of a place of anxiety, out of a place of worry that we might not have enough, especially perhaps with a year that we've just had. And you throw into the mix the feelings that people must have around anxiety for the future at the moment, and in life in general. See, many people have lost their jobs. Many people have lost their health. Many people have been hugely impacted with their mental health. And many people who may have felt their futures were all planned out ahead of them have been left with that in tatters, not knowing what tomorrow holds, let alone the further future. Can you find peace? Can you find joy in the midst of all this? Can you find contentment in the midst of this world that we're living, full of all these things? Can it be found in the security that your bank balance gives you, in your employment status, in your amount of possessions that you have? No, it can't be found in any of those things. The Prince of Peace is the one who gives true peace and true contentment. So that no matter what is going on in the world around us or in your personal life, with the Prince of Peace beside you, he can bring you a peace that passes all understanding, no matter what you face. Thankfully for us, God's supplies never run out. He has the riches of heaven, and nothing is impossible for him. He is our provider. He's the one who we can trust and put our faith in. But where are you putting your faith, and where are you putting your trust, and where are you putting your hope in today? He knows what we need, physically, spiritually, emotionally. It may be something practical that you're looking for and that you need today. It may be a sense of guidance for the future. It may be his peace. It may be his healing. Whatever it is, he knows your every need, and he is the great provider. The verse in the Lord's Prayer says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day. Give us what we need today, Lord. It's so easy to be caught up in what tomorrow might hold, or the day after, or the week after. I know for me, especially as I struggle with my mental health at times, thinking too far ahead can be so difficult for me, because my head just gets lost and my mind just gets overcome with anxiety and not being able to figure it all out. But Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 34, to not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble for itself. Give us this day our daily bread, Jesus. When we're constantly worrying about tomorrow, it can be a huge weight to carry. Each day, though, of our lives, God promises us to walk with us, to provide for our needs, to guide us, to give us his peace. It's easy to be overwhelmed in life, find things difficult, and they're not easy a lot of the time. You know, and without dismissing those things that are tough in life, and without detracting from the very real trials and hardships that we may face, it can still be so easy to forget to give thanks to God for what we do have. He is the God who's provided for us from day one, and he will not stop now. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. He's worthy of our hearts. So remember what God has done for you today. Give thanks. Remember that he is the God who has your back. His nature is to provide. It's his desire to fill us with his joy that is beyond the circumstances that we are in. So for whatever is going on in the world today, whatever's going on in your lives today, he wants to give you peace, joy, contentment. And what an example that is to the world around us. When people notice that, you know, despite the difficulties and challenges that you may be facing, despite the hard times that you've gone through, despite maybe not even having as much material things as other people, despite that, you're marked with a joy and a peace and a contentment that, you know what, that money can't buy. What a shining light in the darkness of our world that would be. He is the one who provides. He is the key to our contentment. He is fulfillment. He knows what we need. So I want to encourage you today to come to the Prince of Peace. Wherever you're watching this, come to him. Give him your worries. Give him your anxieties. He's the one who takes those from us and gives us his peace that passes understanding. He's the one who day by day walks with us. He's the one that knows you better than you know yourself. He's the one that knows what you need better than what you think you might need at any given time. So come to him today. Receive his peace. And receive his love. Once more, let me pray for us this morning. Lord Jesus, life can be tricky. Life can be tough. And it's so easy to become swamped by feelings of insecurity of the future, of anxiety for what might come ahead of us. Worries of life can be overwhelming. But Lord, we give you thanks that you're the one who knows. You're the one who knows our hearts. You're the one who knows what's going on in our lives. You're the one who wants to give us your peace this morning. So wherever you are, if you feel comfortable doing it, I'd encourage you just to put your hands out in front of you. And I'm going to just invite the Holy Spirit to come and to fill you afresh and to give you his peace. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now and to fill us with your Spirit once more. Lord, fill us with your love. Lord Jesus, fill us with your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.